Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan. Just Dan, by the way. Nothing else.
You sure you don't have a secret background for that name? No. Okay. We have finished the currently existing Gentleman Bastards series, and with that, actually finished our themed summer.
That's right. Our summer of series.
So we'll wrap up the book today. But you have a warm-up for me.
I do have a warm-up for you, Luke. And this is something that I've been... It's a theory I've been cooking up. Okay?
Okay. Not a book theory.
It's not a book theory. It's a theory about people. And I have a theory that... I think I'm just going to tell you and then I'll give my case. Okay? I have a theory that humans, people on our planet, are aliens hiding out. For some reason, I think we're aliens. Wait. I don't think we belong here. I'm not talking about specific humans. I'm talking about every single one of us is an alien, and we're hiding out from something that's trying to get us. And here's why. Recently, Luke, I feel like I've been encountering things in the world, behaviors that people do that make me think that we have to be aliens. Like, we cannot be from this planet because... So let me give you some examples, okay? Some examples of things I'm talking about. There is a video online of a guy spraying mustard into another guy's face who's asleep. Have you ever seen this video?
No.
Okay. This guy is taking a video of him with a squeeze bottle of mustard just like spraying it into this guy's face who's fully asleep. The guy takes like 2 minutes to wake up and the whole time is like, what's going on? He's so disoriented and he's just getting covered in mustard. Like his face is, it's like he's being waterboarded with mustard. Okay.
Okay.
Then, all right. So this is it. Okay. This is the example that clued me into it. There's other instances. Like, for example, in grad school, I had a buddy who went on The Price is Right. In order to get on The Price is Right, he showed up with 2 shake weights and a bunch of sweatbands and was just, like, screaming while doing the shake weights in order to get on The Price is Right in the studio audience. And, like, another friend went to Japan recently, and there was, like a Japanese sex shop. And on the third floor, there's like silicone feet molds that have holes in them for people to do things with. Luke, I want you to imagine you're in like a natural history museum and you see those models of like the evolution of the human species, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like at every point in those models, you can be like, oh, yeah, the things that this guy's doing are probably not that different from like a monkey. Like they're a little different. You know what I mean? Like they're a little different. But like the stuff that we are getting up to in the year 2026 is too different from anything else that any other creature on this planet is doing.
Our shenanigans is getting out of hand.
Our shenanigans has gone so out of hand that it has to be from another planet. Like, we cannot be from here.
You're saying, like, recently. We recently came here.
Yeah, I'm saying there was a certain point where we just, like, we saw us aliens were looking for a place to hide out. We saw this creature that looks so close to what we look like, and we were like, yeah, we could just fit right in. We could just take over. This is the Neanderthal sort of a thing, you know?
Okay.
Where it's like, we didn't evolve here. We did not come from these other creatures. We are so far removed from these other creatures in our whole vibe, in what we're doing. We have to have been from somewhere else.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay.
And I'm not saying all human behaviors are like this, by the way. I'm not saying everybody is constantly doing something that seems crazy, but I'm just saying I can't imagine even the craziest chimpanzee is doing anything on the level of insanity of like the top 20% of people.
Right, it's a unique gift of ours, you're saying.
It feels so unique, Luke.
Sure, yeah. And you're more clued into this by the weird stuff we're doing and not the, like, technologies that we've developed and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's the weird
shit. It's the weird stuff.
It's the weird stuff for sure, because the tech is like, yeah, sure, like, you know, ants build ant hills and, like, you know,
right.
Even crows use tools to a certain degree, which again is why you can sort of picture the early humans, even when they've got like a spear and a loincloth in the museum exhibits. You're like, yeah, okay, like dogs sometimes wear clothes too. It's not that weird.
Right. For sure. For dogs independently will put on clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
they're embarrassed.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I do think that it has hit an exponential increase with the internet.
Ooh, okay, so maybe the internet is when we came to this planet.
Yeah.
We brought the internet. We were like, we left a dying society and we brought the only good thing about it, which is the internet.
Right, and then it just took off.
And then we were like...
Because I often feel this way about, like, humor sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
Where I'll see a kind of nonsense thing that is funny and yes. I laugh at it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why is this funny?
Yeah.
I've had this a couple times with my parents, with my mom, for example.
She sends you a good
where
meme.
I'll laugh at something and she'll be like, what are you laughing at? And I'll show her a meme or something like that.
Yeah.
And she just like cannot... She doesn't get it, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain why.
The layers
of
context
that
are required to be able to explain it is impossible. Yeah.
Right.
It would take
like
a dissertation.
Sometimes it's just like, it's funny because it's nonsense.
Yeah. 6-7, you know?
And I feel like that's the case with a lot of our stuff right now. Not even just the funny, but like it's become so strange that it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm hesitant to blame it on the internet, Luke, because I feel like people have been getting into some bonkers shenanigans for a long time. I think the internet is what makes it so easy to find. The internet is like, you can find a video of it. But I feel like, I don't know. I feel like people have been doing crazy shit for a while. Like, you go back and look at some of the fashion that people were getting into in some places, or like the fads that swept areas.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know we've, like, humans have tried and hung a pig for a crime before?
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know.
That's old. That's like 1600s, I think. They, like, hung a pig because the pig killed a child and they took it to court. Like,
really?
No monkey's gonna do. Nothing does that. What are we doing? What are we doing?
That's a fun one. They actually took it to court. Hell yeah.
Justice. Justice for all of us, really.
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There was a point where we took over, because I'm putting myself, a lot of alien conspiracy theorists, like, to them, us with the aliens and we're the real people, or like, you know, they like to sort of, no, it's all of us, guys. None of us are the original, the OG humans.
It's like the Void Bringer situation.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly what it is. Yeah, Luke. Oh, man, Brando is onto something.
spoilers for...
Nah, kind of. We didn't say too much. Listen to the apps, read the books. No spoilers here.
Yeah.
Anyway, Luke, that's my theory. If y'all have evidence, Luke, is there anything that you think of when I sort of bring this up? Any specifics you're like,
just like this specific crazy stuff?
Yeah.
I
feel like even like I'm just here so I don't get fined is like, I feel like that's getting close.
The Marshawn Lynch quote?
Yeah, where he's just like at a press conference. He's like there's so many layers of weird to that interaction. Luke, that it feels normal, right? It feels like, oh yeah, that's just right. That's not that weird. But then you think of like a dog doing something like that, and you're like, that's fucking crazy.
Right.
But okay. And Luke, okay. I do also want to clarify, animals do all kinds of weird shit, but the weird shit that dogs get up to and like other animals feels like within a category that is so far removed from the weird shit that people get up to.
Right, because there's like an immediate jump that you can kind of see the jump they're making as to why they would do something, I feel.
Yeah.
Even if it's not necessarily like a logical thing, it's like, yeah I can see why you rolled around in poop right there, because...
Because it smells delicious, of course.
Obviously. Yeah. I mean, okay, so none are coming to mind right now, but in general, yes, I agree with you.
And the other thing I think about with this, too, is that if, like, another alien species came to Earth, I think we would stand out, like, so dramatically. I think we're doing a bad job of hiding out, is what I mean to say. Like, I think if something else came to Earth, they'd be like, okay, we've got animal. What is this fucking thing? Did you see this video about the mustard?
Clearly this one's wrong.
This one's... Yeah. Something's wrong with this one.
Yeah. I was initially going to say some people eat really weird stuff, but that's not the right category because animals do that.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, normal animal stuff like eating is fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
But there's just a level of absurdity that we're dealing with right now.
That's right. No, I'll keep an eye out for sure.
Yeah, please do. Let's talk book.
Okay, we're finishing up Empire of Thieves. Wait, is that what it's called?
Republic of Thieves.
Let's see. I'm gonna start us off with kind of a goofy one.
Let's do it.
So I think it's early in this section. They get back from their exile. Right.
Yes.
They escape from the boat and they charge right in to confront Sabatha.
Correct. Yep.
And the way of doing so is that Locke grabs this guy by the balls and Locke's is basically just like, if I don't get in to see Sabatha, then I will do something really horrible here. And they go through this, like, he like brings him up, but he has to keep holding him, so they're doing this weird walk.
Yeah.
and it's almost like it's a standoff.
Yeah, it feels like a Mexican standoff sort of situation,
but like I don't really get the standoff part of it, right? Because then he's like, okay, I am now in the room and can talk to Sabatha.
Yeah.
And then there's like, as long as you don't hurt me, I'll let you go or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he does. And they just like talk. Yeah. Is this as crazy to everyone else as it is to me? I don't really like it. Just feels like he could have gone in and talked to Sabatha.
Well, I think the whole idea is that Sabatha told them not to let him in. So this was just like his key to getting inside. And then now that he's in, he doesn't need this anymore.
Okay.
Right? He found a key to get in that he picked the lock of the Locke Lamora, I guess, with the balls. Also, it's like this trick feels it shouldn't work. It feels like it shouldn't work. Because
it's hard to do once they're walking. The walking thing is tough.
Yeah, and there's like so many other people around that like, what is your plan? You've got no plan. Locke.
I guess here's my problem with it. Okay. Yeah. So the difficulty is like getting in to see Sabatha.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that they can't just like fight their way in.
Yeah. So they took a hostage.
So like, Sabatha doesn't want to see... They think Sabatha doesn't want to see Locke to the point of physical violence from preventing him from getting in, right?
Correct.
And then it feels like to me, once they get in and are talking to her, and he lets go of this guy's balls,
yeah,
they could just like beat him up and take him out again at that point.
Yeah, but
Sabitha... But then I guess it's like, he's here now. Let's just talk to him. I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
You got to respect it, Luke. You got to respect the ingenuity. My main thing about it is just that, like, what? This was your plan? Like, you could have... I feel like there's a better plan to be had here. And instead, Locke's just like, don't worry, I've got this one figured out. And his plan is to just grab him by the balls?
Right.
You're not going to, like, try and break in or cause a distraction, or you're just going to... I mean, it worked, so good for you, but...
But also, it totally couldn't... He very easily could have missed or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot was riding on this. And if they messed up, maybe they end up on another boat immediately.
Right.
This is the first thing they did upon returning to town.
It's just a crazy...
It's a crazy move.
I thought it was going to be something clever when he was like, he wears tight pants, right? And I was like, ooh, there's going to be some elaborate scheme.
Yeah.
But no.
Like they're trying to see what the outline of the key is that he's got in his pocket. And then they can, you know... No, they're just grabbing his balls. I do appreciate that we're going on offense, though, in this section.
Sure.
We finally go on offense. And I have to say I'm a little disappointed in Locke and Jean.
Okay.
And I'm disappointed because their plan... So Locke uses this opportunity to sort of like go on dates with Sabitha.
Yeah.
And they're having a good time and they're reconnecting and it's very sweet. But in my head, I'm like, this is brilliant because there's two of you and only one of her. So Locke, just keep up the distraction game, keep up the like, and it can be selfish too, right? It can be sort of like, you know, he wants this as well. But this is part of the game, is like, take her on as many dates as you can.
Right.
And then she's busy. And you could just be like, Jean, you're really good at this too. Like, divide and conquer. Like, you just take charge while I'm gone.
Right.
It's right. So good. But Locke wasn't doing that. I mean, it was happening just by the nature of the fact that Jean was like, still operating while Locke was on a date, but like that should have been the plan.
Yeah, I see what you mean. They'd have to be on a lot of dates and long ones.
Yeah,
but that's kind of win-win for Locke.
It's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
The only problem is if she catches wind, she's gonna be like, I know what you're up to. I'm not going on a date with you again. And it's like, right, shit. So you gotta really plan it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think you could set up a lot of time release plots that pop off like the next morning or whatever.
Right.
And then you're good. Let's go on offense, guys. Use Gene. He's so good at stuff.
He is very good at stuff. Yeah. So this feels like a good time to talk about the like type of schemes and mm-hmm. such that they run, like the category of strategy that they use.
Yeah.
Because, so at one point, I forget who, but someone in this political organization is like, should we like promise people tax cuts or something like that? Something policy related.
Yeah.
And Locke immediately discounts any strategy relating to like actually the business of politics.
Yeah.
Or like of policy, I guess I should say.
Yep.
Which I think is hilarious.
Right. Yeah. This election is entirely about the show that they're putting on, and there is no substance at all to their strategy.
Right. And I go back and forth between being like, this is silly.
Yeah.
And loving it. Because that means they just get up to like thief stuff. And it's like, I know, it's like, to me, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But that's what they know, and that's what comes across well on in the story, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just in the back of my mind when I'm reading this, I'm like, this isn't relevant for the for the actual thing at all.
Right. Like, people are eating laxative brownies and being like, I hate that party because they gave me laxative brownies. And it's like, obviously they didn't do that. Obviously there's some crazier stuff going on. And also, maybe your vote shouldn't matter. Maybe that shouldn't sway your vote that much.
Right.
I do think it's wild that this seemed like the first time they didn't have a big plan they were running from the beginning. They had a plan that they figured out like in the last week that was sort of a Hail Mary.
This getting the guy to flip, you mean?
Getting the guy to flip. And like it was an interesting sort of plan, I guess, but it wasn't even that. It was just like, yeah, we're gonna super bribe him, actually.
Right. Like what I said last episode, which is that like Locke's plans are all just to bribe everybody.
Right. And like it was like they were doing a bunch of pranks up until the election, and then he bribed a guy really good.
Right.
And I think I was just expecting a little bit more of a long con from Locke in this plot. Like I was expecting there to be a little bit more of a like multi-layered, like we did this and then we took over the ballots in this area and like we swapped them out. Not necessarily like exactly like that, but a little more of a plan than just like, what's going on today? Oh, there's a bunch of refugees coming in. Oh, we got to get them. Go get them. Go get them quick.
Right. Which was kind of similar to your suggestion, by the way.
Yes.
Basically just like creating voters.
Right. Exactly. But Luke, the other thing about it, which is crazy, so they lost a seat by like 20 votes, I think.
Yeah.
20 votes, 60 ducats. We're talking like a, what? 1,200 ducats to buy 20 votes to win a seat? You paid 25,000?
Right.
What are we doing?
I don't know. But yeah, they're it's all just like pranks. It's like smoke bombs.
Yeah.
And they're all trying to spy on each other. That's like a big thing.
Yeah.
They're planting spies in each other's stuff. And it's like, why? There's the big thing, which they kind of joke about later, which I appreciate. But there's the thing about Sabitha keeps planting spies. And she plants the old ladies who they're not comfortable with, like, physically overpowering, right? So they kind of just, that's like a win for her. And it's like, okay, but like, who cares about you just having old ladies watching this building? That's not part of that doesn't matter for this scheme.
Yes.
Neither does the smoke bomb stuff.
I think it would have been different if they were like explicitly talking about how they didn't actually care what the election was. They just wanted to make a big spectacle.
Yeah.
But they seem to be genuinely trying to win. Like, these seem to be their genuine best efforts at winning the election, not just like causing chaos in the city and putting on a fun show for everybody.
Right.
Which I guess based on their skill set, it makes sense.
It does.
But there's got to be more. There's got to be something else to make this happen.
Well, the only other like things that they do are they try to frame one person for like a bunch of theft.
Which,
and even that, it's like, that's just another prank scheme thing.
I think the other interesting aspect of this, which is not much discussed in the book, is the power of the incumbent advantage in this election.
Yeah.
There seem to be several instances where the party that has power just uses it to help them succeed in the next election. That's huge. Not only just like incumbent effect for voters, but also being able to change how the game works to have a better chance of winning. And Locke and Gene weren't even there for the first like week or two, however many days.
Yeah.
Ah, they're coming from way behind. The fact that they're able to tie feels like a miracle, frankly.
Well, what they should have done is basically just like crash the economy. You know what I mean? Because they're it's like, yes, the incumbent has an advantage as the one that you, but there's also an advantage of the like out party of just making everything seem terrible, right?
I think that is tough, Luke. It's tough when your city is actually run by a bunch of wizards who can just fix things immediately.
True, yeah.
And so, like, the economy starts crashing, and the bonds magi are like, oh, wait, can't have that. Hold on. We gotta print more money. Raise interest rates.
Fair. I guess, okay, this is true. I guess maybe this is why Locke's thing about not running on policy at all could make sense, because the policy actually kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
For this city. So, okay, maybe I should take my criticism away a little bit. Maybe this is all just about pranks and nonsense.
Yeah, maybe there's actually a shadowy cabal of people that's running this city, and it doesn't really matter who the politicians are.
Maybe they should have done the like student government thing of being like, we'll give more recess.
Gatorade in the water fountains, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, they're on offense, which we love.
They are. Did you catch why the party that they're working for never wins, by the way?
Ooh. I don't
it's pretty big red flag specifics. For winning elections.
What were the, Luke,
they don't let new members join.
Well, yeah, because they're dirty and stinky.
So, I'm sorry, what? That's the whole thing.
No. They got to keep the party in a, like, a cool state. They got to keep it locked tight with the good ones. Only the cool
that
ones.
One was crazy, because Locke was like, all right, you guys, our strategy for you is to go around and like woo people, and they're like, absolutely not, that's undignified.
Yeah,
my guy, that's the whole thing.
Dude's still hoping it'll revert back to an aristocracy. He's like, yeah, but if we win, We can change the rules, so it's just we're in charge.
Right. Pretty bad strategy, so I guess they did need some Locke types to shake things up a little bit.
Yeah. Although maybe they go on vibes, like maybe they get elected on vibes a lot, where people are like, I know they won't let me in, but they're really cool. Maybe they can run the economy good. I think they're good at economy.
Maybe they have this weird, I have this weird feeling that they're good at the economy, even though I don't have any evidence for that.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess I'm going to vote for them, because maybe they make the economy better. They wouldn't really want me if I came to like hang out with them. They'd probably turn me away, but economy. Anyway.
So true. Okay.
Can we go back in time?
Yeah. A little flashback action.
Yeah, I feel like let's spend a little time in our flashback. So they manage this issue with the Baron at first, where he like thinks that I remember we left off last time thinking they were in a bit of a pickle. Because the Baron heard Sabatha and Locke talking about how they were in love with each other. They get out of it pretty easily, which like makes sense that they're able to do that. But trouble rears its ugly head again later,
right,
with our Baron guy. Do you have anything you want to talk about before we talk about the like climax of the past story?
Yeah, I want to mention... This is a very 16-year-old boy thing, but Locke does get the Baron to make him switch roles into the main character.
Yeah.
And I want to say, so for one thing, for sure, Sabitha knows this, right?
Yeah. I think, I don't remember if he explicitly tells her or not.
I don't remember either, but like, there's no way that she doesn't know that.
Of course.
And I think that that would probably be a deal breaker.
Ooh, interesting.
Say don't more. You think that's like, it's like you, that's just so lame. And like if I'm Sabitha, it's like, all right, that's, I don't know how to describe this. This is like so not a good move to me.
Luke, I want to remind you they are like 16 and 17 year olds.
Yes.
You don't remember? I feel like being in the play, in the school play, the like, I feel like this would be a move that they would be like, oh yeah, now we get to like make out for real. That's cool.
Okay, this is a tricky one because this kind of happens before they actually get together.
It's around that time, though. Like, Sabitha is talking, like, it happens after they have their rooftop scene where they're like,
they're like,
I don't
kind
know.
Of into each other.
They're kind of into
Sabitha's
each other.
Sabitha's like kind of already into him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. And like, if they were already kind of a couple, it would make sense mm-hmm. because they're kind of doing it together.
Yeah.
Right? But I'm imagining it more in the context of Locke trying to win her over.
Yeah.
And like, if I'm Sabitha and we're not a couple already,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I would like that.
Luke, you've never seen High School Musical?
I love High School Musical, first of all.
Isn't that what they do in that?
No, he's the star from the beginning.
Oh, okay.
All right. They're all trying to get him to be because he's really good and popular already. I can't believe I have to explain the plot of High School Musical to you. Anyway.
It's been a while. But Luke, the other thing I want to say here is the assigning of roles happened very early on and somewhat arbitrarily.
This is true.
I don't feel, I would feel very differently if it was like clearly Locke is the worst performer and he is pulling strings to get in this position and it's going to make the show way worse. Like that is like, okay, come on, buddy.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's sort of arbitrary. It's like he does just as good of a job as the other guy, maybe even better because he's like really into Sabitha.
Right. I guess that's fair. I don't know. Just when I was reading this, I was like, again, just not as, I don't know. And again, maybe this is because they're 16 and there it's different from like how I would view something as a 32 year old. So I don't know.
Well, I guess, I mean, we'll come back to this, but based on the revelations that we hear about later, maybe Locke is not 16. Anyway, we'll get to that later. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So they do eventually kill the Baron because he deserves it. And there is one scene we get from the Baron's perspective where he is, it's a scene that I like to think of as the, hey, it's okay to murder this guy. He's actually terrible scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which from my perspective, we didn't really need. I think it would have been, you don't need to get it from his perspective that he's like that bad of a guy. Like everything else, totally fine. Self-defense. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
And then they go on this weekend at Bernie's sort of an endeavor where they're hiding this body in order to sort of frame. Who are they framing? Before they can frame the like,
well, they're not framing anyone in particular. I think they're just like,
oh,
some accident happens.
An accident. That's right. But the plan seems so bad, Luke. The plan seems like it would hold up to no scrutiny, and I kind of empathize with what's his name, Donkel.
Yeah, I don't think it's Donkel, but his. Yeah.
Or like Donk or whatever his name is, who wants to get out, who is like, this, we're all going to die. This is a terrible plan. but they've right. basically created a blood pact where they're like, if anybody tries to squeal, we're going to kill them. The plan is like, we're going to have somebody pretend to be him on stage, but they're never going to show their face. And then they're going to do the same thing later to get the money. If I'm right. like a somewhat competent investigator, I'm going to be like, okay, these stories of where he was before he was murdered, does anybody actually see him, or are we just told it's him?
Right. The fact that the circumstantial thing, if you're coming in after he dies, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he was acting very strangely the day before, and there's all of these weird instances that clearly point to the fact that this troop is like doing something weird.
Yeah. He right? like the trail the okay, absolutely, Luke, because the story, when if you look at it from an investigator, is like, okay, this guy was assaulted by the head of a theater troupe. He somehow got convinced to let him out of prison by somebody else in the troupe. He then goes on to sponsor the troupe and then is murdered by the very guy he was like working with to build the troupe. Like, this is weird. This is weird. Like, there is an investigation that has to happen here.
Well, not even that, but it's just like the guy dies in a weird fire.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, what was happening before that? Oh, he went on stage and like, despite everyone expecting him to be in the crowd, had his like face covered and didn't speak and did this kind of weird thing. Like, all right, so obviously that was a not him.
That was suspicious.
The first thing I would think would be like, all right, so clearly this troop is like doing something weird.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, did they, I can't remember if they claimed he broke his ankle or sprained his ankle. Do you remember?
Like between spraining and breaking, you mean?
The specifics matter here, because if they claim he hurt his ankle before he, like, that's why he couldn't meet with that lady.
Yeah.
Which is also very suspicious. I'm checking the bones. If they said broken ankle, I'm like, all right, we've got bones here. What's the ankle looking like? Show me the ankle bones.
Right. I mean, I think, okay, to be fair, they didn't have a ton of time to come up with a plan.
Oh, I'm not saying that they should have done better. I'm just saying, if I was one of the people who was trying, they were trying to get on board, I am unconvinced. And I'm like, we need to just run. We need to just flee.
Right. Like, I realize that's not that good of a plan, but it's better than what you guys are proposing right now.
Yeah. Literally just like, go get some horses and go to a different city.
Yeah.
Time to start over, kids.
Yeah. It works though, Dan.
By like, God, any scrutiny, Luke. If his like, even if his like little bodyguard who was supposed to count the money even for a second was like, no, I literally can't let you do that. I need to see him and he needs to use the seal. Right. Or if they're waiting around there at the bathhouse for however long, like the jig is up.
It is precarious for sure.
It's so, yeah. Oh, man. Good for them, though. They did it.
They did do it. Proud of them. I don't think it would have worked if they didn't think that they were nobles in, like, hiding, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I also, Luke, the phantasma.
Yeah.
Thing where like the dead characters from the play still show up on stage and are like ghosts. I actually kind of think that's sick, and
yeah,
would love to see a play like that.
Yeah. It might get a little crowded.
Depending on the play,
obviously.
But you could also have them like
it's a
in
cool
the
idea.
Background
I like it.
And like you could do cool stuff with it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I will say I have a hard time going back and forth. I know it's not that much of the book, but going back and forth between like the actual book writing and then the play writing.
Yeah, me too.
Where like the play writing, I was like, damn, I have to completely reread this again.
I also found myself not really caring that much about the play.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Maybe this is, we'll probably get into this in reviews, but I also, every time they go into the playwriting, I'd be like, all right, now what are we talking about here? We're like in a story within a story within a story. We're too many levels deep for Dan. My brain isn't that good.
That's fair. That's fair. This is, I have a note about the flashback in general that maybe belongs more in reviews. But I might say it here.
Yeah, you can start it. Start it here, and we can always pick it up in reviews.
So, I don't know how to say this. What is the point of the flashback half of this book?
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of expecting it to be, like, there was some revelation that turned into being super relevant for the actual, like, current events.
Well,
which, like, kind of it was, because it was sort of the story of Locke and Sabitha getting together for the first time.
Well, also Jean losing his virginity, which is a big important plot point.
Right. But it seemed like we just, like, had two stories.
Yes. Yes.
In this book.
I think that there is, I think a lot of what it is doing is explaining Sabitha to us.
Yeah.
So that her actions at the end, like, I think her actions throughout the book make a lot more sense in the context of their vibe. And her, like, sort of like difficulties with the gentleman bastards and with her own, like, desires and with, like, the society that she's in, and those things started when they got together. Also, Jasmer's still out there, so
okay,
maybe he's gonna show up.
Loose end, sure.
But Luke, I tend to agree with you, actually. I don't know.
Well,
why,
like,
there
to your
that
point, I think there's a more efficient way of doing that.
100%. Luke, because I was initially wondering this when they did their little game early on with chains. I was like, what is this? Why is this in here? What is this doing for us? And by the end of the book, I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. They're doing it again. And it also sort of gives some backstory. They're, like, back and forth. They're, like, their characterizations of each other that, like, he is sort of tricky, but she really does care about him and she doesn't want him to get hurt. And so she'll break the act if she thinks he's actually in trouble. And that, I thought, was, like, a really effective little story. And I think that a lot of the other points could have been put, we're getting deep into reviews now, but I'm going to finish this point. We can come back to it in reviews. Yeah. But I think that the big long backstory could have been dramatically condensed and gone just at the end of that little game that they played with each other.
You're talking about the game where they were, like, playing a tag, sort of.
Exactly. And, like, they could have done a little debrief after that where she talks about her anxiety about people just liking her for her hair and, like, all this stuff. Like, they could have had this sort of romance that happened within that context. And maybe you have, like, a smaller little heist that goes wrong in that period, so you get to see them work well together and all that. Because that is the other thing, is it shows how well they work together when they're on the same side. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, let's put it down for now.
Yeah. We will have
more
to say
about
that.
Are you ready to go back to current time?
Let's go back to current times.
Can we talk a little bit about Patience's revelation about Locke?
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely should.
This kind of came out of left field, right?
It came completely out of left field. I think that there was definitely some questions about Locke's backstory, but this answer is an insane revelation for what the answers could have been to this question. I also will say I had a note written down that was like, God, stop making everyone related, because Scott did a little misdirect about Locke being Patience's son.
Yeah.
And I was just like, God, you gotta stop doing this, everybody.
Right, this is the star, almost a Star Wars thing.
Yeah, and his brother would have been the Falconer, and I was like, ugh, stop it. But he didn't, right. Which I appreciated, the little misdirect. I got a little chuckle out of it. I was like, okay, all right, Scott, you got me. Got me in the first half. but what a pivot, Luke. What a pivot that she's like, hey, our real plot was to get you here because you are an old necromancer that I used to know in the body of a young person.
Right.
And that's who you are, Locke.
It's kind of, you could not have seen it coming. No Dan theories on this one.
How?
I'm
absolutely
disappointed
not.
In you, obviously.
Look, I'm not a miracle worker, okay? I'm not a Bonds Magi.
Do we believe it, actually, is maybe the question that we should ask.
I don't believe it at all.
I do, Dan.
Ooh, okay. Tell me your evidence for do, and I'll tell you my evidence for don't.
So I don't have evidence for do, necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I do is because there's no point to patients telling him this.
Ah, there is, though,
I don't think.
Okay.
There is.
Okay, so I'm going to give you why I don't think it's true. Because I can answer this without it having to be true. Like, I can tell you why patients did it, whether or not it is true. And that is, patients, they're the end of the... So at the end of this book, we realize that this whole thing was a plot by one half of the Bonds Magi to eliminate the other half before they did something really horrible and like ended the world.
Yeah.
And the thing that instigated this sort of coup that was about to happen was that they heard from when she talked to Locke that he was this necromancer guy. And the other side, the sort of enemies that Patience has to take out in the end, overhear this conversation, and it leads them to decide to act now to try and consolidate power because they need to use this power that they learn about.
Okay.
Like, there's this interlude where they were listening in to Patience's conversation with Locke, and they're like, shit, we could do soul transfers. That's something we should investigate more. And they're never going to let us do it. So we need to start doing our plans for a coup. And so they sort of like consolidate in that way. And what I'm assuming is it makes them vulnerable to this like big strike that takes them all out.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to be true for patients to tell Locke this.
Okay. Hang on. So...
Because what is the evidence that it's true, Luke? The evidence is that Locke's got a thing for redheads, and so did one other guy.
Okay, let's put a pin in the redhead thing, because I do want to talk about that.
Yeah, which we should.
Evidence. Okay,
Locke knows this other name.
Yeah.
Patience has been planning this for a long time. That could have been planted.
Well, basically, Patience had to tell Locke so that Cold Marrow, I think, is that the name of the guy, could pretend to be on the other guy's side and show them this.
Yes.
So that they would put into course their plans of doing a coup, which would then ultimately make them vulnerable, I guess, to being blown up.
Assassination. Yep.
That's crazy.
Luke, that's the kind of plan I was hoping Locke and Jean would come up with to win the
election. That's an unhinged plan. Because like all they need is for just like these people to be mostly together.
Yeah, they gotta do a big bomb.
Yeah, but like you can kind of do that whenever.
No, because Luke, I will say a part of this, you can't do that. Because they have this like telepathic speech. They don't all have to be in the same room. But they're trying to do a coup where I think this is sort of like a command center that they're going to like then take control over the city from after the coup is successful.
But they blow up, like you're saying, because they would all be concentrated in one place for this, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
But they're kind of not. I mean, they're like...
The important ones are...
A group of them are together, but they're kind of also just together because they're like listening to the results of this thing, which was the original reason why this five-year thing was set up. So just use the five-year thing.
Yeah, but then... You look kind of guilty. You feel kind of guilty if you blow them all up when they weren't actively trying to destroy the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you kind of, I don't know.
Like now, at least you don't feel bad about it. It serves the same function as when we got a perspective of the Baron and we learned that he was just the shittiest guy of all time.
And so okay, we don't so have it was to... basically like, we have to show that they would do something bad.
Yeah.
To preemptively prevent them from doing the bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So our big murder is actually justified.
It's actually good. Yeah.
Okay. Which is why Locke is not the reincarnation of this old necromancer.
Yeah. Also, like, what other evidence do they have?
No, this is my point though, that plan is so crazy that like she's probably just telling the truth. Or at least what she thinks is the truth. Because she could think it's true and it not be, right?
But like if I'm Locke, right? And even if she believes this is true, if I'm Locke and she tells me this, I'm like, okay, what evidence do I have that it's true? I have like a name that she references that I'm like, I've kept really secret, except I also told Jean the name.
Mm-hmm.
And this story that she told me that I have no other knowledge of.
Yeah.
I don't. Do I have another person living in my brain? I don't think so. Do I remember being a child? Yeah, for the most part.
Right.
Like, is it that surprising that an orphan with no friends or family comes out of this place when a plague swept through and killed everybody?
Right.
No. Also, he's in a... he ends up in a orphan camp. An orphan summer camp. So there are so many orphans in Camor every day that this happened. It's not like this is a rare occurrence. He's not like the boy who lived or something like that. Like there are constantly orphans in Camor.
Yeah.
He's just an orphan.
Yeah. That's fair.
The other thing, Luke, is we do need to talk about the redhead thing. Can we talk about that now, please?
Yeah, let's do it.
So... The book ends, Sabitha runs off again. Patience is like, I brought this painting of Lamora Pitone or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a little shocking. So, I mean, Sabitha saw it and she ran off. But just be ready. And Locke looks at the portrait. And of course, he doesn't look the same because, like, he's not going to.
Yeah.
And the wife has red hair, and that's it. That's it. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
Dude, like, a lot of people would. You could have done this scam on so many people.
Right. I mean, okay. At the beginning, or at one point in this, I mean, the story about why. Redheaded girls are taken advantage of is weird and horrific and not where I was expecting them to go with it. But originally it was kind of like, people are weird about redheads and they have this weird fetish for them.
Yeah.
And so like, why would it be surprised? Like, so a lot of people are interested in redheads is the point.
Yeah. Luke.
This completely it's like, okay, so this guy had was into a lot of people are into redheads. That doesn't mean anything.
And if I'm Locke, I'm like kind of pissed at Sabitha, honestly. Like, I truly think his anger at Sabitha is justified in that, like, Locke has consistently and like clearly told Sabitha how he feels. He has been her constant companion. He has been faithful to just her memory for like years.
Yeah.
And she hears from this witch a story that Locke is like, I don't even know if this is true. And she's like, I can't risk it. That's fucked can I
do
up.
A
side,
can I do a sidebar for a second?
Yeah.
Can we chill about redheads? Okay. I don't get why red hair is like always such a thing in like fantasy books especially, but I feel like in just literature in general,
yeah,
it's like it's kind of normal. Okay. Well, I'm tired of this.
Quoth is a badass, and I'll hear nothing else about it.
It's just like I don't know. I don't know why we have to be weird about redheads. Anyway, end of sidebar.
I think this is Locke's opportunity to break the shackles of this crush for Sabitha. When she leaves after seeing the painting, I think this is Locke's perfect opportunity to be like, to evaluate, to be like, I get that I'm really into her. Is she good for me? And the answer is no. She is not. She does not care for you in the same way you care for her. And she constantly hurts you unnecessarily.
Well, it's also like, I mean, I know that he appreciated her hair early in this book.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I mean, I would compliment my wife's hair, but that's not like why I'm with her.
Correct. And Luke, I went back and reread the first part of the book because I was like, is that true? Like, is the first time he saw her hair when he was like, oh, hell yeah, that's it for me? The answer is no. Like, she shows up and he, without seeing her hair at all, is like, oh, I think I'm feeling something for this person. And it develops, and over time, eventually he catches a glimpse of her hair. But he, at least in the recollection we get in this book, explicitly states he fell in love far before seeing her hair with this person.
Well, like, just the idea of the color of your hair being like the reason that you're in love with this person, it's like that's such a low factor.
Yep. Luke, I will also say that I think if the portrait had other identifying features in this, I would be a little bit more concerned. For example, if the portrait she had red hair and like an eyebrow piercing and a specific tattoo or something, then I'm like, okay.
Well, but then it's like, all right, well, is Sabitha also reincarnated or what's going on here?
Sure. But I just mean like that I could understand Sabitha being like, I got to dip out. I can't do this.
Okay.
But as it is, I'm like, I agree with you. Luke, we agree. This feels like nothing. This feels like there's nothing here.
Yeah.
There's no reveal. This is not a reveal. Also, you could have made up that painting. You already said to Locke that you kind of hate him for his role in this.
To be honest, if I was Locke and she unveiled, without like this whole book having like weird focuses on the red hair,
mm-hmm.
if she did this and like unveiled the painting, I would genuinely be confused, because like I just like wouldn't jump. I'd be like focusing on the guy, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well that's not me. And so it would take me a while. She would genuinely have to explain it. She'd be like, "This girl has red hair."
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad. I don't believe it, Luke. I think it's all fake. I think it's a big scam.
That's fair.
I do have to say, consistently, Locke and Jean are like apocalypse level events to the cities that they visit.
Yeah, for sure.
We gotta stop inviting them places. The level of destruction is insane when they leave a place.
Right.
Like, this city is going to cease existing, probably, in all likelihood, because not like entirely because of their shenanigans, but like after they have left this place. I feel like the stories about these people are like apocalypse bringers. Like if you encounter these people, run as far away as you can.
Right. They're not allowed in any city. For
no.
Sure.
No, their portraits are up at the gates being like, never let them in.
If a man shows interest in red hair, he's not allowed in our city.
Which sounds like a good rule in general for how crazy people are about it.
Honestly, in this world. Yeah. If you're a freak about red hair, it's fine to be interested in a person with red hair, but you're not allowed to be a freak about someone with red hair. All right.
You have to go back to the woods now. We're not dealing with you anymore.
Man. Okay. Do you have any more notes or do you want to do reviews?
My last note here is, oh, damn, Falconer's back. But and he's a little Magneto now. What am I going to do with this guy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. A little careless on Patience's part, I will say.
Yeah. Big time. But
pretty cool that he just needed to kind of want it.
Just want it bad enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. So well, how are the boys going to manage this one? Ooh,
we're getting the boys back together again.
Let's do reviews, Luke. I'm gonna let you get started on some reviews.
Okay.
I think let's talk this book, and then we can also talk about the context of the series, I think, because we're at a sort of a stopping point.
Okay. I think this book was okay. I'll put it above book two, but below book one. We kind of talked trash about the flashback half. I did kind of like getting that.
Yeah.
Just because it was fun. It's always fun to read about their shenanigans. But I don't know. I we've talked about this a lot, but like the plot of the kind of setup is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Of it being them trying to like influence this politics thing, but it's just like not about politics at all. So it was kind of a weird choice. I was very glad that we got them and Sabitha together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that I feel like had been set up a decent amount. I don't know. It just like I think my issue is that I know that the final portion of this book becomes like apocalyptic, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But the little shenanigans leading up to it felt really small.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it felt a little bit unbalanced that way.
Yeah.
And then so maybe I guess my big takeaway is that it's always fun to read about these characters, but the overall book I'm like not super into. And then my thing about kind of the series as a whole is one thing that okay. So each of these books, or at least the most recent two, I kind of forget how the first one gets into it, but they're like in all of their scenarios are put into are forced to do something by a more powerful entity that is like making them perform a heist that they don't want to have to do.
Yeah, like go be a pirate, go do a play, go be a election manipulator. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got a little bit annoyed about that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was like, once again, they're just like, they're forced to do something because someone is like blackmailing them.
Yeah.
And I would like them to be doing their fun stuff for fun reasons, I guess, maybe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I share a lot of your feelings about this book and the series in general. I still think that first book is so fun and good. And yeah. I think this one is like better than the second book. I think I largely agree with you. It feels unbalanced. It felt like there was so much stuff that we didn't really need in this book that was just like kind of fun, but not like fun enough for me to be into it. I feel like the reason why the past stuff took up so much space is because that is the like really fun stuff. Like when they're all doing their stuff together in a crew, their vibe is really good. The dynamic is fun. The problem is that just didn't really move. That doesn't move the story along anymore because it's they're all dead. And so you can't, it felt weird to be constantly going back to them when it wasn't super strongly tied to the story that's happening in the modern day. It was just sort of a vignette to give us insight into what's going on with them. And I feel like it could have been compressed dramatically and still given us the same punch. And I think what they could have done is to expand the sections about the Bonds Magi so that this sort of coup thing that was going on would have felt a little bit more like something that was happening in tandem, and the climax would have been way bigger, right? The climax is huge. They explode a bomb in the middle of the city and kill a bunch of Bonds Magi. But the total amount of like context we get for that is like 20 pages. And so it's like, it doesn't feel like as big of a moment. But if they had been like sort of like there was this thing happening, we don't know what's going on, but like we're getting some of the intrigue from the Bonds Magi, I think like that could have been a really effective way to introduce like a different sort of thing that's going on in the book. And to like give insight into what the Bonds Magi are like and that kind of thing. But instead we got a lot more like the twins and Gene and the shenanigans that they're all getting up to. And like even there, it felt, even in that little heist, it felt like they were just adding stuff to expand it. Like the fact that they had a plan for the Baron, but oh no, at the last minute he hired somebody to deal with the coins. And it's like, why did we need that complication? It didn't really add much except time to the heist, like time to the plan. And so it felt like it was sort of adding things for the sake of adding length to that story rather than like anything necessary, which was, again, like it was fairly fun to read, but it just felt kind of loose. It felt kind of sloppy in some respects.
Right. Yeah, like a lot of the things that happen didn't, this is kind of why I said what was the point of the flashback half, which like I realize that it doesn't always have to have a point. Like sometimes it can just be entertaining and everything.
But we want it to work together, right? We're reading a book. We want it to sort of, it's that there's a reason it's not two books. There's a reason that the flashbacks were not a separate story that you read that is like a short story about Locke before this stuff, right? They need to work together in some serious way that like, and maybe we're too dumb to see the themes between them and how they were constantly actually were working together. But I don't really think that they were in a meaningful way.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is too bad.
It is.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that these books are fun. They start to feel a little formulaic to me, though, at this point. Like, I feel like we figured out the formula. And I can't say that I am like, I think of the three series that we read this summer, this is the one that I am least like ravenous for the next book in the series.
Yes, agree for sure.
And I will also say, based on what's going on the subreddit, so there's a subreddit for this book that's the Gentleman Bastard subreddit. There was a post there made a month ago where Scott Lynch was interviewed talking about how he's making progress on this book, and it seems like he's getting somewhat close to releasing the next one. So if you're into it, it sounds like he's making moves with the Thorn of Camor or the Thorn of wherever, Emberlane or whatever. So like cool. But I don't know if I'm like really that. I don't know. I don't know if I'm if I'm going to be as excited if that book comes out.
Definitely in a different tier than the other two that we've read.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a lot of Poe. A lot of Poe there, I will say. Like, you know, there's a reason we had a lot to talk about, right? There's a lot of Poe here, so it could be good. But I'm going to... It's going to take somebody I trust reading it first, being like, oh yeah, this one's actually really good, before I'll be excited about it.
Okay. Good to know. Hopefully that actually does come out.
I know. I'd love it. But Luke, we're moving on. Kind of.
We're moving on. Right. So next week, we are finally coming back to a Patreon episode. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. We promised this last book, the end of last book.
Yeah.
There are 9 chapters that have been released sort of in various formats from The Winds of Winter.
Mm-hmm.
We will be reading those 9 chapters and giving thoughts. There might be some...
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to look like a normal ep where we are doing our normal bit or if we're just going to give thoughts and vibes about it. But we'll be reading those and talking about it. I'll post a link to where we found those chapters on the Patreon page for where we're reading them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be next week. So it'll be a Patreon-only episode next week. And then 2 weeks from now, Luke, we're in a way continuing our saga of this, our summer saga series, but in an active saga.
An actually active saga. Yeah. Where the author is writing.
He actually just released a very popular eighth book in the series?
I think so. So we're going to be reading the Dungeon Crawler Carl series.
Yep. We're book 3.
Book 3, which is the Dungeon Anarchist's Cookbook.
Mm-hmm. That's Matt Dinneman, by the way. We're going to split this in half for next week.
Yeah.
Because we got to get back to some Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Got to. Dan's been chomping at the bit.
I have. I've been excited to get back here. So next week, Patreon only, we'll be finishing up our summer saga series with the unreleased chapters from George and the Winds of Winter. And the week after that, we'll be doing the first half of the Dungeon Anarchist Cookbook by Matt Dinneman. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on our summer of unfinished series.
Yep.
It's been fun.
Loved it.
Yep. It's been fun. I feel like now I have an aching in my heart that will always be there for these books.
That's the goal.
So that's good. And we will be back next week bringing the hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.